think Father Rick is going to share with us about the term co-redemptrix.
News somewhere along the line made a statement this week about Pope Leo saying something about Mary not being the co-redeemer and co-mediate, co-redemptrix and the co-mediatrix of God's blessings and what have you. And I think that, you know, I don't know if everybody got all bent out of shape by this. It's not something that you hear a lot, but sometimes somebody's preaching, a priest or a deacon, they may mention those terms. But these terms have never been defined dogmatically, that they are part of our dogma. They, I think, basically developed over time when people contemplated Mary's relationship with Jesus. I think on occasion one of the early church fathers may have used it. It became far more popular during the Renaissance, and I think it probably had to do a lot with the Protestant Reformation. It was a way, since, to fight against the downplaying of our liturgies and the honor that we gave saints and the place that we gave Mary. And this was a way to hold it up, to try to maintain it. As I say, it's not been a not only has it not been a dogmatically defined statement, but it hasn't really been doctrinally stated exactly what it means. People have used it. But interestingly enough, it never came up in the Second Vatican Council. When they talked about Mary, they did not use those terms. I think that the point being that they didn't feel a necessity to talk about these terms, and to do so at a council would mean that they would probably have to define those exactly. And I don't think they felt the need to do that, nor is it in the Catholic Catechism that came out of the Vatican Council. So it's not something that's real heavy in doctrinal teaching of the church. And I don't think that we should get bent out of shape. I think one thing I heard somebody say is that Pope Leo wants to Protestantize the Catholic faith, you know. Thing is that that's not really true. Certainly many of the Protestant religions have downplayed the Mass and the role of saints and what have you in the church. Perhaps over the years, as I said, during the Renaissance, when the Protestant Reformation was in full bloom, that some priests, some teachers may have tried to bring in the significant importance of Mary into the church's workings. But I think that we have to understand that the terms co-redemptrix and co-mediatrix are merely applied. That is, that they don't define something that is an integral part of Mary's relationship with Jesus. And I don't know that people have to refrain from using it. You may not want to use it around Protestants and those who have no great sense of faith, but if people have a devotion to Mary and understand that she suffered, she has a relationship with Christ that's just a little bit different than that of other saints, I don't know that there's a real problem. The idea behind the co-redemptrix is not that the redemption needed Mary. That's not the point of that statement. And if she didn't suffer, that we wouldn't have been redeemed. Now, there's one redeemer, and that is Jesus Christ. And he did that because of his suffering on the cross and his dying and then his rising. What is referred to by co-redemptrix is trying to get to the understanding that Mary, as she stood there with Jesus at the cross, suffered greatly at what he went through. If there was a possibility, which there's not, but if there was a possibility, that suffering that she did could enter into that redemptive act because of the severity of her suffering. So it's like a companion to the suffering of Jesus. But that's just because she suffered it, not because it had any effect on our salvation. She was so close to Christ that, as far as a human person goes, she suffered a great deal. And because she suffered a great deal, they have referred to that as a co-redemptive act. Sometimes they even talk about people that suffer martyrdom as people who make up what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ on the cross. Doesn't mean without the martyrs dying, we wouldn't have been redeemed. That's why the church teaches there's only one redeemer, and that's Jesus Christ. And he did it by his life and his death and his resurrection. That's it. Anything else that we talk about is only in an applied way, in an applied sense. We certainly have to understand that Mary suffered tremendously. If her sufferings could have been applied, that would be one thing, but that's not what happened. God did not apply her, no matter how much she loved God, no matter how much she was faithful to Christ, she suffered only on the level of a human person and not as the divine being, which was what was necessary for our redemption. It's not suffering. It is the suffering of Jesus Christ that saves us. No matter how many saints and what have you may suffer for the name of Jesus, that doesn't add to our salvation. As a matter of fact, if Jesus had not come and died on the cross and that, all the suffering of all followers of Jesus could never equal an act of salvation that would bring us into heaven. That just doesn't cut it. We needed a divine being, and that divine being was Jesus. When somebody says Mary was a co-redemptrix, it's only in an applied way by trying to remind us that when Mary stood by the cross, she suffered more than we can imagine a human person could suffer, but not because it added anything to the sufferings of Christ. That is not dogmatically true. The dogma does not state that. And to say that in a very real sense is almost a blasphemy, to say that Mary's suffering contributed to our salvation. And as far as being a co-mediatrix, I think that that only comes in, again, in an applied way because of the relationship that Jesus and Mary had. She is not the dispenser of grace. Only Jesus is, again, because he is God. And because he is God, he is the one who can dispense his grace and his healing, whatever. The saints themselves can be intermediaries. We can pray to the saint that we like and ask that they intercede for us. And they, you know, I don't know the workings of heaven, but in some way, the saint, in a sense, can go to Jesus and say, this person wants some help. And I think the thing is that we understand Mary as in relationship to Jesus, very close. She would always be in conjunction with whatever Christ is doing. And in a sense, it's not that she dispenses grace, but she is there, we might say, supporting the need, so that when Jesus and God says, well, we'll do it, or he may just say, you know, this saint can do it, or however he wants to do it, he can do it through the angels or whatever, but when he brings healing or answers the prayer or whatever it is, what they are saying is that Mary has this so close relationship with God that she will always be in agreement. Plus the fact that as Jesus died on the cross, he gave Mary to us as our heavenly mother. Because of that, she has what we might say an interest in that grace being given. It's not that she hits Jesus over the head because Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do it. And she says, boink, yes, you are. I'm telling you, no, that's not what we mean by mediatrix. We mean that she is in such a close relationship that in her love for us, in her love for her son, there is this agreement and a desire on her part to impart those graces. But only God can do that. But that doesn't mean that Mary can't stand there with him, agreeing with what he is doing. When we pray and do whatever we're going to do, I don't care if it's for ourselves, for the poor souls, for the conversion of the world, whatever, and we pray through the saints, or we pray directly to Jesus, or we pray and ask Mary, whatever, ultimately, all grace comes from God. Either God chooses to use another instrument to finally impart that, that's God's business. So when somebody prays and said, I prayed to St. Jude or somebody, and a little flower or something, and they answered my prayer, it's not really the same. God has granted that grace, but he will sometimes use that saint who, in a sense, brings that prayer to God. We don't know how that all works, but in other words, you know, some people like to pray to Saint Teresa the Little Flower, and they ask for things because they say that when she answers those prayers, the person gets a rose or a box of flowers or something like that. And when that happens, the people know that their prayer has been heard and is going to be answered. I don't know if you've ever prayed to that, to the little flower, and had that happen. But we had a neighbor that did that. Somebody came and brought her a dozen roses. And when they rang the bell and she opened it and there was this box of flowers, the guy with the flowers says, these are for the next door, but they're not home. But she received them. And that was the sign. Even if she had to carry them over to her neighbor, on the day she was looking for an answer, the roses came. It made her very joyful because she received the flowers. And she did. She gave it to the neighbor. So I think that, you know, in conversation, in prayer, we can use those terms if you understand what they are. As I say, it may not be something, you know, that you spread around. I don't know what the church is going to do with it. I think Pope Benedict and Pope Francis were both a little leery of using those things in those terms in anything that was specifically geared to what the church does and how they do it, with the fear that people would misunderstand it. I think Pope John Paul II used those terms a few times in his proclamations from the balcony in his talks on at noontime or something. But it was just in a talk. It wasn't trying to do a prayer. It wasn't part of the Mass or anything. I think he used it in that context, that Mary is an intercessor. Mary is one who loves us. Mary is one who prays for us. And she suffered with Christ on the cross. But redemption is Christ. The dispenser of grace is Christ. Both of those terms are only used in an applied way. They have nothing to do in reality with the work that God does in redemption by his dying on the cross and in his administration of grace. Only God does those two things. And when we talk of it about Mary, it has to do more with her love, her suffering, her care, but it has no real effect on changing the work that God does in redemption or in the grace that is given to us. If you like to call Mary the co-redemptrix or the co-mediatrix in your prayers, I really don't think God cares or Mary cares. Maybe she likes it, maybe she doesn't, but just remember what it means. If it's used, if you hear some priests use it, sometimes don't get bent out of shape. The only time you have to worry is somebody gets up there and says, this is what it means, and they're giving you a lie. Because if they're giving you a lie, then it's a waste of time. We can look upon God and Mary and Jesus in the context. God, Jesus is God, Mary is a creature. And Mary had to be redeemed like all of us. She was given special privileges, but she could not do the work of redemption. She's a human being, and she had to have the grace of God to get to heaven. She was created without sin, but it was only because Jesus was going to die on the cross for her, for all the saints, and for all other human beings.